You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae. I'm Monique LeRae. Happy Sunday to you. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to get my glasses. Thank you for joining us. Another Sunday here on LA Talk. We are inching closer and closer to our five-year anniversary show. I can't believe that in less than a month, we will be, no, 2 months, excuse me, September, we'll be 5 years on the air. Thanks to Sam and his team and all the guests and supporters who have helped this show stay on. We've been through everything together on this show. We've taken you around the world. We look forward to the next 5 years. Well, we can't wait to see what goes on. I want to also say thank you to everybody that supports the channel, of course, Dr. Jess and Iron Lace Jewels. We've got everybody that just, you know, constantly supports this show. Thank you so much. And we'll tag them on the Instagram, all the socials and stuff. I want to, before I bring on my first guest, I want to jump in. I am in a module in my MBA where we're talking about information technology. A couple books I think are pretty interesting that you guys should all be thinking about. One is called All In on AI. The title is How Smart Companies Win Big with Artificial Intelligence. I know that AI is kind of something that people casually throw around and could be seen as a threat. But if we learn more about it and how we can implement it in our businesses and our lives, we won't be left behind. A lot of things that are repetitious in work will be automated soon. So you want to get ahead of that and make sure you are AI leaning or AI proofing your business. And what I mean by that is it's not going to go away. It's something we've been using for so long. So you really want to understand that. And you can, with this book, it's called The Digital Mindset and What It Really Takes to Thrive in the Age of AI, Algorithms, and AI. So these are two really good books to get started. I've got some more coming, but I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a good time for businesses to really scale up and implement those things. All right. I have my first guest today, Christina Biddle, a.k.a. the Southern Belle Badass. Christina, how's it going? Welcome to The Startup.
Oh, it's going great. I hope you're doing well. And congratulations early on your anniversary of The Startup Show.
Thank you.
I'm coming to you live from the Gulf Coast. I'm on vacation, but here we go. I just thought it would be nice to have a different atmosphere out here.
This is nice. Well, thank you for sharing part of your vacation with us. Why don't we go full screen, Sam, on Christina? And Christina, why don't you introduce yourself and just go all in. Talk to people about what you do and what you're focusing on today. So we'll go full screen.
Hello, everyone. I am Christina Biddle. I own and operate Premier Accounting. I have multiple locations around the United States. I have one in North Carolina, one in Birmingham, Alabama. I can be contacted at www.premierabc1.com, or you're welcome to send me an email at premierabc1@gmail.com. So let's get into a few things today. I've got a really good lesson plan kind of worked out here, and it's some interesting things that people really need to know about, that I'm introducing to people. A lot of people don't understand it. They're scared of it. But anyway, let's get into it. So everybody wants to know, what do I have with the IRS? What does the IRS have on me? What are they showing under my Social Security number? There is now a way you can set up your own IRS account that lets you view all of your tax records. Everything that the IRS has on you, you have at your fingertips. There's a few things that you have to do. I will be posting these instructions on my website on how to create an IRS account. But what this does is it gives you the ability to prevent fraud on yourself when it comes to tax season or even credit. It helps you. If you owe the IRS a balance, you can go on your online account. You can pay that balance. If you want to see where your refund's at, you can go on your account and see it. So let's say that you didn't file last year's taxes and you lost your W-2. If you have an online IRS account, all you have to do is click a couple places and it pulls up your W-2 from that place that you worked at where you lost your W-2 for. There are also ways to where, let's say you had a tax preparer last year and you're really questioning what they did. You can go in your IRS account. You can pull up your actual tax return and see what they did. It has a multitude of purposes. And I feel like people, like you were just talking about a little while ago, AI. People are nervous about AI. They just don't understand it. They don't understand the security that is behind AI, that it's not just some public platform that people can get in there and manipulate. With this account, do not be nervous. Do not be scared. There are so many safety features and factors in this IRS account. There is really no way that somebody can commit fraud or whatever.
Yeah.
So because one of the main caveats of this is it is face recognition.
Great. We love face recognition.
Yeah. And that's the thing. To set up this IRS account, you have to do it on your cell phone because that is where it will do the face recognition from your cell phone. And also, too, it will be sending links to you for you to provide that information, verifying that is you as well. Yeah. So there are a lot of security features behind this. And like I said, don't be nervous of it. Everybody needs to do it. Get in there. See what's in under your social. Make sure everything's correct. Keep a handle on your life. And this is one more way to do it. Very important because this is your money.
Let's pause right there. This is great, you guys, because oftentimes we really don't think about the IRS unless it's filing a tax or if your company every quarter. And some people don't do it every quarter. Some people do it annually or biannually. But I'm really glad that you're addressing this because you're right. We need to be looking at what's going on. I remember one year someone claimed me as their spouse to get a... to get a tax credit. And I don't even know this person. And it was quite interesting. And I really wanted to get more information about that. But tell us some more. What else do you have to share?
Well, that was the very first piece of information I thought that was very important.
Yes.
Now, here recently, I've had a lot of my clients ask me questions about IRAs. Inherited IRAs, you have a family member that passes away. They left you this IRA account. What do you do? What are the legalities behind this IRA? So there are things called a 401k, and it's a conversion. Now, once someone passes away and you inherit the IRA, you need to set up a beneficiary IRA. In other words, that's your own IRA. If you take that money and do a direct transfer / rollover, it is tax-free.
Okay.
But if you start pulling money out, it becomes a taxable event. Mm-hmm. Now, another huge thing about an inherited IRA, it has to be depleted within 10 years.
Okay.
So 10 years from the time the person dies. So let's say I pass away 2024. By 2034, my children who inherit my 401ks, they will have to have it completely gone within 10 years. Okay. There is a formula that the government, uses to figure out. It's very easy. But the taxability is what I want to talk about. The required minimum distribution of when you have to start taking money out of your 401k and also be taking money out of this other one.
Okay.
you have to pay attention to your total income, not what you just got from this one or what you got from that one. Because at the end of the year, it's all combined. It is cumulative. So with these IRAs that are being beneficiary IRAs, you have 10 years to withdraw the money. Strategically, what you need to do is look at your other income for the year and say, okay, I'm going to take out this amount of money because I can't afford to increase my tax bracket this year because I can't pay the taxes on it. So what you do is you take less this year to keep you in a lower tax bracket.
Yes.
That is one way to help, you know, combat that. And you can actually take all of your money, all of the money in the inherited 401k, and you can do a complete conversion to a Roth IRA. The difference between a 401k, IRA, simple, traditional, however you, whatever other kind of account, taxes have not been paid on that money. So therefore, when you retire, you're going to have to pay taxes on that income since it's never had taxes paid on it.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yes. And so, but if you take it and you convert it to a Roth IRA, a Roth IRA is money that you put in a savings into this retirement account that's already had taxes paid on it. So therefore, when you start pulling that money out, you're only going to pay taxes on the gains that that had. So the original deposit and continuous deposits are tax-free when you pull them out.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
which is a huge thing. Now, one of the cons of this is when you pull your money out, you have to be, you need to talk to your tax professional. Let me just put it that way. You can do all the research you want to online. You can look at all these rules and regulations, but unless you talk to your tax professional about your specific situation, don't do it on your own. It comes out really bad. I have had many clients come to me, hey, listen, I did this. Is it wrong? Well, yeah, you've been doing it wrong the last 2 years. We need to go back now and fix it because they thought they could do it on their own, TurboTax, or they had a, what I call a shade tree preparer do their taxes. But now there are some things consider when pulling money out of a 401k slash Roth IRA, any kind of retirement vehicle that you have. The biggest thing, can I pay taxes on that money? Which is why a minute ago, we were talking about, okay, I'm going to be in this tax bracket this year, but if I add all of this additional withdrawal money on top of it, I'm going to be in this tax bracket. So this is a way to control your taxes.
Wow.
Which is, honestly, that's what everybody wants anyway. You want to defer your taxes, not get out of them. You want to defer them to a later time to where the tax code, you may be paying less in taxes. So, you know, there are lots of things to consider. Another thing to consider as well is this going to be enough money to last me? We need to look at that as well. This is where your tax accountant comes in, your CPA comes in again. How can I save money, enough money that's going to last me until I retire and cost me the least in taxes as possible?
That's the great question. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. So basically, you have to look at your own situation. And I know that's a very vague answer, but honestly, every situation is different. So, you know, it's tailor-made. Okay. So you need to look at when you start pulling this money out, is it enough? Can I pay taxes on the money? You know, once you take your money out, it's a done deal. Even if by the end of the year you decide, oh, wait a minute, whoa, 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 I didn't need this money. I want to put it back. You've still already taken it out. There's no redos, no do-overs. Same thing with conversions. So if you take your money and you convert it to a Roth, then that's it. There is no, the IRS has got this no tolerance policy, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to tolerate you taking money from here to there, because they understand that there are ways to manipulate the tax code by doing things like that. So they, you know, we always know that they want to close loopholes, but when they close one loophole, they open two or three more. Well, then you got these con people that figure this out, and the next thing you know, you got more regulation. But anyway,
right?
We won't go there. So you and I want to talk to you too about the required minimum distributions of these retirement accounts.
Let's go full screen and give Christina the whole platform. With Christina Biddle here, our tax queen, Southern Belle badass. Sam, let's go full screen.
Oh my God, I look really bad full screen. Gracious. Okay, so the required minimum distributions are what the government says you need to pull out based on their age table. So the government has their own life expectancy, which is where they come up with all of your tax numbers as far as your age. So what they would do is they use, so let's say this year, the average age of passing is 82. So that's how they figure in how much you need to take out. Now, mind you, if you take too much out or put too much in, you're going to have a penalty. I do know that if you put in more than what is legally allowed per year, you will be charged a 25% penalty on over contributing. There are some ways to get around that, but there again, call me, Premier Accounting. I can help you with anything. I'm here anytime you need me. So the required minimum distribution age up until COVID was 72 years old. So basically what that meant was once you hit 72, you have to start taking money out of these accounts. You have to. But due to COVID and the Secure 2.0 Act, now it doesn't start until you're 73. Huge. That is really a big, 1 year really makes a huge difference when it comes to the required minimum distributions and your 401ks. So in closing on the IRAs, conversions, your retirement vehicles, just remember, first and foremost, talk to your tax accountant. Second of all, make sure that you have a financial advisor as well, because your tax accountant is going to need to work with your financial advisor to make sure that your investments are making you the most money, but is saving you the most in taxes. So that is basically what you need to know to begin with. Like I said, you need to speak to your tax professional because everybody's situation is different. There are different types of beneficiaries, so you need to be aware of that to see if you qualify for this or that, or anyway, it's the government. You know, there's loops in that tax code. Now, one thing that I really is very important, very, very important to small business owners. This was actually invented in 1958. It is called an S corporation. Most of the time when people hear the word corporation, they think, holy crap, that's double taxation. The company has to pay taxes. Then I've got to pay taxes on what I make. That is true for a C corporation. When it comes to an S corporation, which is Small Business Election Corporation, then there are certain, there's a lot of benefits to it. Number one, an S corporation does not pay taxes, which is huge. So the money that the company makes, it is a flow-through entity, as it's called, which means here's your business, it makes your money, and then it flows through the company. At the end of the day, it comes out to you. Only some of it is taxable at a higher rate than the other. Now, let's get into that. If you own 2% or more of an S corporation, you are required to draw a paycheck from that company. The paycheck must be considered reasonable compensation by the IRS. The reason why, some of the tax benefits of this S corporation are, they are not, you're not paying payroll taxes, FICA taxes on all the money that you make. You're only paying FICA taxes on that 2%, the person that's 2% or the people that are 2% owners or more. That is all that the payroll taxes slash FICA taxes are paid on. The company may make $100,000 and you take a paycheck of $25,000. You're only going to pay payroll taxes on that $25,000. The rest of the money that the company made is going to be taxed at capital gain rates. Now, people hear capital gain rates, and I know back in the day, capital gain rates were outrageous. And if you see a capital gain rate, people just started just choking. Now you want capital gains. The capital gain tax rate, the beginning tax rate, is 0%. Zero. That is your lowest capital gain tax bracket. Zero. Us as individuals, which is considered ordinary income, our lowest tax bracket is 10%. Tell me how that makes much sense. But anyway, that's huge because it's being taxed differently, which is why the government keeps a very keen eye on your S corporations. You know, a minute ago when I said reasonable compensation, the government has, they do market studies just like you and I would, you know, if we were like we're in business and which way is our advertising dollars making more money. I got so going into it, I lost my train of thought. I get on taxes and it drives me nuts.
That's a good place to pause, actually, because it's important to explain capital gains. When you're a private company and you're not publicly traded, or maybe you will be, how do they make up that rate? Because you're going off the capital markets rate, right? But if you're not publicly traded, you're just a private company. Can you explain how they go from between 0 and 10? How do they find the scale or the rate?
That is based on an annual, it's like the tax brackets. Every year they may change a little bit based on the new regulations. Okay. So your capital gain rates are just like my tax rate, the ordinary tax rate. Okay. They fluctuate based on the current tax law. So that's very important. I know what I was getting to a minute ago. I got off on marketing and anyway.
It happens
too. Oh, it does. The IRS does market studies. So let's say you own a fruit stand. Okay. Well, the government will say, oh, well, most people who own fruit stands in your area, their income is generally this amount of money. Well, you're reporting $20,000 less a year than what your average market for that company is. Bam. They'll look at you. They'll send you a letter. They may audit you. I had a client that was audited because of this, because of the government's market study. And what you have to do is it's a full-blown audit. You have to show them, hey, listen, and the area that my client was audited in is very poor. So they reported $40,000 less than what people in their market usually make. The IRS was asking questions. We had to provide bank statements. We had to show them, listen, we live in a very poor area. This is why his income was so much lower. When we talk about reasonable compensation, that's what we're talking about right there. If you don't, So if, like I said a minute ago, you make $100,000, you only take a $25,000 paycheck and the company is, you know, not running at a loss or anything, it can't be justified. The government's going to come in and say, okay, you avoided payroll taxes by doing this. So now you're going to owe payroll taxes plus penalties plus interest on those penalties. And the penalty, the possible penalty for a trust fund violation is 100% of the tax that you owed. So if you owed $300 in payroll taxes, your penalty is going to be $300. So you now owe them $600 plus interest. Wow. Plus interest on that.
Wow.
So this is why it is so important. Talk to your tax professional. Talk to your financial advisor. I know I have clients. I'm on the phone with their financial advisors all the time. Hey, listen, they want to do this. What do you think? Or they'll call me, hey, what are the tax benefits of this? You really need to surround yourself with people who know their profession, because you're in your own profession. You may be detailing cars. You don't know anything about your money and the tax laws. Leave it up to the people who know what they're doing. Don't try and go rogue on us, okay, people?
That's right. You know what, you guys, this is a great point. Christina, I'm glad that you're getting us, you know, up to speed. I know that there's going to be so much more. We're going to have Christina, our Southern Belle badass, and she got that moniker because she's from the South, but she does taxes all over the country. She's got clients on the West, clients in the Middle, clients on the East, clients on the South, in the North. And
Them in Germany, too.
And you got them in Germany. So give them
in Mexico. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So why don't you give everybody your phone number real quick? We're going to get to the next guest and plug where people can find you.
Okay. Again, it's Premier Accounting. My number you can reach me at is area code 910-571-1092. Or if you want to reach out to me on my website, it is www.premierabc1.com. And it was a pleasure speaking with y'all today. If you need anything, you know how to get me. Do not hesitate, because I'm here for you.
We love you, Christina. Have a good rest of your staycation. Be safe.
I will. Yes, ma'am.
Mwah. Bye. I love her. It's like speaking to a sister. She's really smart. And if you are that escort thing and those tax those tax insights are very helpful. All right. Next, we're going to go to our next guest, Miss Tanise from Organized to the T. Tanise, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Hi, Monique. Thank you so much for having me. It's going good.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to see your face. Why don't we go full screen and have you introduce yourself and your brand?
Sure. So I am Tanise Holman, owner, founder of Organized to the T. We recently have expanded. We're a multi-service business. We focus on professional organization, design, and now virtual support services. We are based in Los Angeles here in California, but it is kind of expanding, and I do plan with our virtual side to be able to reach more people across the country. And that's just a little bit about the business.
Well, this is wonderful. Tanise and I met, I think it's been 4 or 5 years now, Tanise. It might have been longer, but pre-COVID, you came to one of my mixers. I was still, you know, working out the kinks with that, and you were quite supportive, and I always have been cheering you on and watching you grow, and I love that you're leaning all the way in with technology to boost your business. So why don't you tell the listeners and viewers how you came up with your brand, how you came up with the concept, the name, and, you know, what got you into this line of work?
Yeah, so I actually started, I would say, when I was much younger. I just knew the typical kind of corporate side would not necessarily work for me. So I did want to search and seek out other ways that I could obviously create income, but also enjoy what I do. So I started off doing wedding and event planning at first, and got a coach and all those things. And I found myself helping more and more people organize. And someone brought to my attention, you should just become an organizer. You do it already. And at the time, I had no clue it was a whole industry, yada, yada, yada. So I switched over, and now Organized to the T. So started off small, you know, closets, garages, et cetera, but now I touch everything.
Well, that's wonderful because, you know, as business owners and startup owners here and people, you know, who have scaled to medium size, we're constantly got paperwork, we've got filings, we've got mail. There's an influx of clutter and you have to stay on top of that. What, when you're doing a profile or discovery call with a new client, what do you look for in them? How can you maximize your skills to help them? What are you looking for?
Yeah. So I first ask what's not working for them, or what is working for them, however it comes up, and then the opposite, because there are times where, myself included, you're so used to a specific way of doing something or having something set up and it's just not working anymore and you got to find another solution. And sometimes it does take a third party, an outside eye, just to kind of see the space or, you know, to see how you can maybe shift some things. And I think that's what really takes the call first or takes the direction first. And then I always kind of kid and I was like, okay, there's a few tiers to this. So we kind of have our standard general organizing of the space, or if you want the HGTV version, that is acceptable as well. Obviously it's a little higher of a ticket, but it all depends on what the client want. And the focus really is to just maximize the space and tailor it to their needs.
I love that. So now you're expanding and you're doing virtual consultations and things. Talk to us about the other spaces that you're touching in your business and how you're leveraging technology to grow your brand.
Yeah. Well, especially, you know, post-pandemic, everything is kind of more virtual. And also, too, I wanted to find a way that I could help more people, not just locally in LA. I do travel a lot and I'm kind of like coastal in a sense. And so I do want to just make sure that I can reach more people or just have it available. So I have tried to just push out a little bit more of the virtual services. And actually 2 years ago, we officially launched our virtual support services, which is very similar to virtual assistant services. And we have 6 women in business that we're working with. And I love it. I just love supporting them, love helping them out. And it has kind of grown into more than what I think initially I thought of, which was just, you know, get another stream going essentially. But people really do need the help, and I'm glad I can help them out. So it works.
I just see so much, you know, you're just so awesome. And Denise has the best energy. She's cool, calm. And I come in like, and she's like, we got it. And, you know, she and I are going to team up here in the next month or so and help someone get organized to the T. And I'm excited to get those before and after pictures. Now, this person that I'm taking you to is a big undertaking. I hope you're ready. Okay. I know you can handle it. We'll have to post and tag when we do that. But I really see your brand growing, right? You said that you've already added some extra additional items, offerings and income streams, but you know, I could see this going where, you know, I walk into a Target, shout out to Target, they don't pay us, but we'd love a check from them. And we'll go in and you've got the, you know, the office and organization section, and there's an organized to the tee box. You know, I can see this logo and your brand and you with your, I can just totally see that for you. Hopefully you'll get a licensing deal. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
I'm open.
I'm going to put that out there in the universe for you because you've got some cool things here. What other areas, like, okay, homeowners that have small businesses and offices, of course, and what other areas in business and life do you organize?
Well, in addition to organizing, I've started a design, actually. Very small interior design, but mostly for individuals or business owners who are flipping homes or they're staging for short-term rentals, et cetera. And so I've gotten a couple of projects under my belt with that. And so we are expanding because the goal is really to become a multi-service. So my client can come and they can get organization done, they can get design done, they can get their virtual lifestyle taken care of, just kind of an all-in-one space. But yeah, I've definitely expanded with that too.
That's exciting. And we also had Denise, we auctioned her off her services. I don't know. Is it the first time you've ever been auctioned off, Denise?
Ever. Yeah.
That's gotta be kind of like a cool feeling and kind of like what, but we auctioned her off, right? And it was to help, the Cameron Boyce Foundation for Epilepsy Research and Prevention. And so we want to say thank you from the startup for leaning in and being so gracious and giving, because that is going to help some people. And hopefully, you know, you'll be moving in those spaces as well, because there's a lot of people that need organization. Yes. All right. Now we're getting back to school. I can't believe it. When I was a kid, when back in the day, you know, we didn't have to think about school until September. Now kids are going back to school in August. Do you have any organizational tips for quick little tips for parents and kids and work, you know, at home, solopreneurs? What do you, any organizational tips to get ahead of all those things?
Honestly, I think my biggest one is preparation. I think that for multiple areas in life, but I know for myself, preparation, even if it's small, it goes a long way. And you know, I don't have any kids yet, but I've helped take care of them and I've seen the setup, and I do see that, you know, if you just prep a little bit, if you just kind of, you know, see what your schedule is going to be like, see how you're going to just navigate certain things, what you need to rearrange maybe, or what you need to just shift. You know, I have a niece, she's going to be going to high school next year. So this is her last middle school, you know, time frame, and it's kind of bittersweet, but my sister has to like shift that dynamic and shift kind of, oh, hey, you know, cause she's going to start going out, and I digress, but
I think
preparation. Yeah. Preparation is a really big thing. A key, I feel. I will start there because you that's can great. Go no, in many directions there.
No, that's a beautiful answer, and so simple, but sometimes the simplest answer, you know, it's really true. All right. Why don't you go ahead and give us your plugs, where we can find you, where we can book your services, and where we can like and follow and share.
Yeah, sure. So I'm on most all social media platforms. I think TikTok is the last one I have not joined yet, but it's organized to the T, how it's spelled. and also too, on my website, it's organized to the TLA.com. And you can find me. I don't know if you need the phone number here or if I should.
Yeah, if you want to plug it, if you feel comfortable, let's do it.
Sure, yeah. Anyone can reach me, text as well, area code 323-283-9250, or you can email me at hello@organizedtothetla.com.
Denise, it's so lovely to see your beautiful smiley face. I'm excited for the brand growth. Thank you so much for sharing part of your weekend and your Sunday with us here at the Startup.
Thank you, Monique. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. That was Denise, you guys, from Organized to the T. Next up, we have a new guest, Brenda McNair. Brenda, welcome to the Startup. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today? Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh my gosh. It's my pleasure. And thank you for sharing part of your Sunday with us. I want to give you the full screen. Sam's going to go full screen. You're going to introduce yourself and your brand to the listeners and viewers.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Brenda McNair. I'm the owner of Hidden Hills Coffee, which is the freshest coffee in the United States. We make everything in small batches, roasted fresh, as well as grinded to your specific liking, and sent out same day. So it's a very fresh, amazing coffee that you feel like it's made just for you. The beans are less than a couple months old, which is very rare. Most beans coming from other areas are very, you don't know how long they've been sitting or how long it's taken to package. With mine, you know, it's the freshest coffee that you'll find. So it's a really exciting adventure.
Wow. You know, that is quite a very confident statement. That's a very bold statement. And you have to back that up, sister, because folks drink coffee in America, right? We need energy. I'm interested to understand your process behind giving yourself that tagline. And it sounds like you shared on how you're able to keep that up. But why did you want to aim for that? Why was that one of your goals?
Well, basically after the pandemic, I don't know if any of you noticed, but as I was drinking my coffee, I noticed that it was super stale. And I asked everybody sitting around me, I said, you guys notice how stale this coffee is? And they're like, yeah, but that's just kind of how it is. And I said, well, it doesn't have to be that way. And they're like, well, what are you going to do about it, McNair? And I said, well, I'll just start my own coffee company. And everybody there just started laughing at me. And I'm like, well, I mean, if you don't try, you'll never know, right?
Wow.
And so I started really researching, like really deep diving in like where coffee is coming from, how it is processed, how long it takes to get here, like just all of those things that go into the coffee industry. And I come to find out, I found an Inside Edition report that talked about how coffee that is being shipped from other countries to America can be up to a decade old.
What? 10 years.
And that's exactly the response I had. I was like, what? As I was watching this Inside Edition. So thank you, Inside Edition. I do not have any, you know, ties to them or anything, but I did watch that. So if you ever wanted to put on YouTube Inside Edition, stale coffee, old coffee, you could probably watch the same one as the first one comes up. But so then I started saying, okay, what could be changed to make this better? And so then I started saying, okay, let's start with the freshness. Instead of being like, you don't know how old your coffee beans are, you go back and say, okay, how can I ensure to my, you know, customers that my coffee beans are going to be less than a couple months old? So that was my number one. My number two was saying, hey, okay, well, I don't just want the beans to be fresh. I want to make sure the roasting is fresh, because that's a big deal. When you, for example, when you get my coffee in the mail, you can smell it through the box. Yeah. It literally, you can smell it through the box because it is so fresh. Yeah. Whereas, I mean, I've had mail carriers are like, oh my gosh, my whole, you know, mail truck here from that one box. So awesome. Think about when you walk in a grocery store, do you smell that throughout the entire grocery store? No. Right. So do you really know how fresh it is, right? So I was like, okay, so I want to make sure it's fresh. And in order to do that, you have to do it in small batches, roasted fresh in small batches. Many of you who don't know how they normally process coffee is in huge big bins. Okay. And after they do huge big bins, then they let it sit after it roasts. That's how it usually is. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to have to roast fresh in small batches, because that'll help the freshness on the extra level. And then the last part was, how is it grinded? Now, many people are like, oh, well, I can just go to my local store and grind it to, you know, ground. Well, you can. And of course, that's an option. But it's been hard to, a lot of people have had a hard time finding whole bean. So I was like, well, what kind of grinds can I do? And so I said, I can do whole bean. I can do espresso. I can do coarse, which is for pour overs, which is a very thin, and then a standard, which is all four. So those three elements are really what makes the freshest coffee. That I mean, I don't know any other. I can tell you on my end, I'm claiming I'm the freshest coffee, but I'd like somebody to tell me that I'm not, because there's really no other process that could make that fresher at this point. I mean, those are really the steps to make the freshest coffee that you can make. Now, you're probably wondering, are you doing this in your home? Are you, you know, there in your kitchen doing this every day? No, actually, I took that's like a spec concept, and I took it to a lot of FDA distributors in America, because it was important to me that I had the FDA approval, and that you felt as a customer that what you're receiving is FDA approved, it's clean, it's done right, it's done roasted correctly, and only distributors really have that quality. So, I mean, I was calling every distributor in the U.S., hi, my name is Brenda, this is what I'm thinking. Hello? Okay, next.
Do not hang up. I'm going to call you back.
Yeah, no, there's no, I'll call you back. It's just like, me, you know, it's like, okay. So I ended up finding two distributors that were willing to work with me on doing this. And so far, one of them really does my K-cups, because I have K-cups available too. And then one of them really does all the other processing for all the other four grinds. One is in West Coast, one's East Coast. Both again are FDA approved. I've went through their process. I trust them too. Those are things I vetted. As you can tell, I did a lot of research and study. So you don't have to do this, you know?
Wow.
A lot of people drink coffee every day.
Yeah.
This is their daily routine.
Yes.
You know, people really look at like what cars they drive and they want to be comfortable. People look at what home they have and they want it comfortable. This is something that you're using every day.
So true.
It's just one of those things that I really, in my mind, am like, hey, you know, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. After my first month in business, Delani, which is the best coffee machine in the world. It's very established, decided to make me an affiliate, which was huge. I mean, they were like, you know, we very seldom do affiliates because they have such high standard for Delani. And wow. So on my website, you'll see two Delani, and you'll see, I have one in my background here, that they're also supporting what I'm trying to do in the coffee industry. And lastly, and I'll let you talk a little, ask some questions, Monique, but lastly, just being a woman-owned business too. I mean, in the coffee industry, it's been very male-dominated for a very long time. And so there's something different too about, there's a lot of women that do drink coffee every day too. And mm-hmm. to have that voice out there saying, hey, let's try something new. Let's do something different. Let's take it a better level here, because it can be done. You know, that's really what I've been striving to do since I started Hidden Hills Coffee.
Well, first of all, we need some sound effects on this show. Congratulations. Woo! 1 year old. Congratulations on the affiliate with Delani, because that is effing huge. Congratulations on leaning all in. I'm saying, what did you say? You made about 40, 50 calls and you got two distributors out of that?
I mean,
do the equation. Do the math on that, you guys. It's a numbers game and you have to be persistent. My goodness, I know that struggle. I know outreach emails and calls. And you know what? I'm just excited that you leaned in. 10 years is crazy. I can't believe I didn't know that, but I'm glad you're fixing that problem. Guys, I want you to follow Brenda and Hidden Hills Coffee. She's already got some cool things going. We're in the works getting some things going together. And I'm excited to work with you, because you are one of the ones, I can tell, you just get it done. Let's plug your socials, and where can we buy the coffee?
All right. So the coffee is located at www.hiddenhillscoffee.com. All social medias are at Hidden Hills Coffee. And we were picked up just by Amazon about a month ago. So we are now located on Amazon.com too. Just put in Hidden Hills Coffee and you should be there. And if you have any questions or concerns, I'm on there too. And I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you have.
I'm so excited, Brenda. And she's got something coming up. Party coming up. Plug it. We've got 30 seconds. What's your party in a way?
Here in Las Vegas, I was actually selected to be on the cover of Deluxe Version Magazine Realm. And we're having a big cover party here August the 3rd at Jing, J-I-N-G, Las Vegas, from 7 till 9 p.m. A great way to come out, meet lots of good business owners, meet me, meet lots of cool people, have a lot of fun, and eat good food, and drink a brand new blend, my friend, that's coming out that night, dropping that night
in Vegas. You guys, thank you for being here with me, Brenda. What will you start today? Be kind to one another. And I will see you next Sunday. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.